morning. I think Laura did a great job in summing up my message. I almost feel like I can just pray and we can go home. Somebody wants that to happen. She even quoted the DC Talk song, What If I Stumble? That was my jam. Y'all remember that? What if I stumble? Yeah, there's a reason I'm not on worship. Today, we are concluding our summer road trip series. We've spent the last 6 weeks looking at different situations that you experience on a summer road trip that can provide lessons for us as Christians. Things like coming up to a roadblock and having to reroute in life and learning to be a servant and taking the back seat. These are things that everyone in life experiences, but as Christians, we're called to handle these situations differently than the rest of the world. For instance, we talked about knowing when to shut our mouths so our dad doesn't have to pull the car over. We recognize that everyone, regardless of how much we dislike or disagree with someone, that they are an image bearer of God. And therefore, we must view all people with patience and kindness. And sometimes that just means being quiet. We talked about what happens when you total your car, right? When we make this massive life mistake that we as Christians, we can seek forgiveness and we can rest in God's mercy and His grace. And then last week, Ken talked about when parks are closed. You show up and the park is closed and you have to deal with unexpected life changes. And he reminded us as Christians, we should have a kingdom focus. We live for the age to come, and therefore, when life brings heartache and suffering and disappointment, we can remain at peace knowing this life is not all there is. And so because our understanding of life and the journey should be drastically different than the world around us, we're going to navigate the journey differently. And so a question that we've probably all asked ourselves, some of us asked this question multiple times, some of us probably ask ourselves this question too many times, it's what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? What purpose am I here for? What direction should I go? What path should I take? Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I be part of this outreach? Should I attend church in person and wear a mask? Or should I stay home and stream it? Should I put my kids in private school or public school? What am I going to do with my kids this fall? These are all questions that we ask. We all have these questions concerning the direction of our lives. As Christians, we want to know what God's will is for these questions. Discerning God's will is unique to us because we know our life is not our own. Right? We have a God who brought us into His redemptive plan, and He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that transforms our inner man. And we are part of the promise of His resurrection, where our bodies will be fully healed and will escape the curse of death. All this was given to us by the sacrifice of Jesus. Therefore, our life is supposed to be a living sacrifice for Him. So when we face decisions, we want to know if we're making the decision God wants us to make. We should approach life that way. In fact, Philippians tells us that through everything, prayer and petition, present your requests to God. It's not wrong to ask what God's will is. And it's definitely not wrong to desire God's will in our life. But, and there's going to be a lot of buts in this sermon. But most of the time in the Bible when it talks about God's will, it doesn't talk about it the same way we usually think about it. So I want to go ahead and I want to answer the question, how do we know what God's will is? How do we know what God's will is? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let me defend that. Turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3. This is going to be our main passage today, though we will look at a number of verses also. I'll be reading, this is out of the CSB this morning. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for being with me this week as I prepare this message, and I just ask for your favor as I do my best to deliver it. Thank you for this church. We thank you for the ability to gather together, to proclaim your word, for you to work in all of us, Lord, that we all have the same spirit, Father. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 16:3, commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The NSB, NIV, a lot of the other translations uses works. Commit your works to the Lord. The NIV says, commit your works to the Lord, and his plans will be established. And so in this little verse, what we see is actually two different ways the Bible talks about God's will. What is not in the passage is the way that we usually talk about God's will. And let me explain. There are two main ways that Scripture speaks of the will of the God, of God's will in the Old and New Testament. The first, we're going to call God's will of decree. Or you could call it his sovereign will. Some people refer to this as his secret will. This is God's sovereign rule and control over the universe. It is God having a plan, working out that plan however he sees fit. So let's look at a couple passages. Ephesians 1:11. In him we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will. God has a plan. That plan involves us. He is working in our lives to bring that plan to fulfillment. Isaiah 46:9 through 10. God says, I am God. There is no other. I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from long ago to what is not yet done, saying my plan will take place and I will do all my will. Again, God's will of decree is God's ordained plan that is and will come about. And it is working in our lives. Ken told the story of Joseph last week, which is a great example of God's will of decree at work. At the very end of Genesis, Joseph looks at his brothers and he says, what you did to me, which was to take him, to throw him in a pit, sell him into slavery, right? What you did to me, you meant for evil. But what you did to me, God meant for good. God's providence over creation, it's one of the most comforting doctrines revealed in the Bible. As Christians, we can hold on to the truth that God has his plan and he is working in and everything to establish that plan. And so this part of God's will, even if we cannot fully understand it, that's why some people call it God's secret will. How many times in life where you maybe had something happen, maybe the girl you were chasing in college turns you down, or you didn't get the job you thought you should get, or you were raising money to go onto the field, and then all of a sudden that door is closed. Maybe a pandemic happens and you can't get overseas now. Right? And in those moments, we become frustrated. We look at God with bitterness sometimes. Only years later down the road to look back and to see how God was actually working out a better plan in our lives. Right? His secret will. We can rest in that fact that God is at work and nothing will happen outside of his will of decree. Nothing happens outside of God's will of decree. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things, not some things, not few things, not almost everything, but all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God does not leave us on our own. He does not abandon us, but instead he is working in our lives. He's working in creation to bring about his plan of restoration. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. God's will of decree is at work, and nothing will happen outside of it. But the Bible also talks about God's will in another way. This can be referred to as the will of desire, or God's moral will. Or you can call this one the revealed will of God. Because the first one, secret, we can't always understand it. But this one, we can see it, we can understand it, we can know it, and we can follow it. This is how God desires us to live. God's will of desire refers to what the Bible commands us to do as Jesus followers. Let me give some examples. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus is talking about obedience here. That's right after he talks about good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. He's talking about being faithful and following his commands. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is God's will, your sanctification. That's pretty straightforward. This is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality. What's God's will? That we grow in sanctification. The scripture teaches us that God's will is for us to follow his commands, to be obedient, to grow in sanctification, to persevere, to finish the race. And this is a choice that we have. This is a choice. We have the freedom to follow God's will or not to follow it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because that's the will of God. It's the will of God to give thanks in all circumstances. How many times have you not given thanks in a circumstance and found yourself outside of God's will? 1 Peter 2:15, for it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By doing good. That's God's will. There's a lot of people on Twitter right now who are outside of God's will. Some way Scripture talks about God's will is it is working and determining things to establish his plans. And then on the other side, it talks about God's will is the ability to choose to be obedient in the commandments of God. And I understand that these two wills, they can almost seem paradoxical. In one sense, God is the one establishing the plans, but then also man is choosing to be obedient to God and walk in his will. And they seem to contradict each other, but they actually complement each other. Here are some passages I think we can see both of these wills at place. Deuteronomy 29:29. The hidden things belong to the Lord our God. The hidden things. But the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow the words of the law. What are the revealed things? Following the law. Acts 2:23. Peter says in his sermon, Though Jesus was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. Peter's talking to the Jews in Jerusalem right here. And he's saying, you did this. You gave Jesus up to the Roman soldiers. You're responsible. It's your fault. You chose to do this. Yet at the same time, Jesus was always plan A. The cross was always God's purpose. It was going to come about. And so we see these two concepts, the will of decree and the will of desire at work at the same time. The two ways the Bible talks about God's will are so difficult for us to understand. And what we want to do with our human logic is either claim one side or the other. And that's why most people, they don't reconcile them. And they create doctrines that either say that it's all determinism, And there's no free will, or they say that there's no determinism and it's all free will. So either God is completely in control of everything and everything is fixed and determined, and therefore there is no point in getting out of bed in the morning. Or everything is left up to our choice and we are completely in control of our destiny, which is a very American way to think. And quite frankly, it is a scary thought because I make bad choices every single day. But somehow the Bible weaves both of these ideas together. That God is completely sovereign and working in everything, and at the same time we have freedom to make choices in which we are responsible for. The Bible seems to indicate that both of these concepts are true, even if we don't have the capacity to make sense of it. And so we see the Bible talking about God's will in these two ways. But most of the time when we are talking about God's will, we are not meaning either one of these things. When most people in Christian circles talk about God's will, we're talking about God's personal will for our life. Or Kevin DeYoung in his book, Just Do Something, he calls it God's will of direction. God's will of direction. Which college should I go to? Should I take that job in Florida? Should I marry that person. When we ask these questions, we're wanting God to reveal his direction for our lives. And here's the difficult part for us. Is the Bible doesn't talk about our personal life this way. It doesn't provide answers for these things. It doesn't tell you if you should homeschool your kid or send them to public school. It doesn't tell you if you should vote Republican or vote Democrat. It doesn't reveal these things to us. It doesn't tell us where to live or what diet to start or what kind of car to drive or what kind of job to have. It doesn't tell us. And not only does the Bible not tell us these things, but most of the time, God does not make those choices clear to us. And you know why these things are not clearly provided to us? Because most of the time, it doesn't matter. Most of the time, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't affect God's will for your life. And I'm not saying your life doesn't matter, nor am I saying the choices you don't make, they matter. They do matter, and they have consequences, right? You take this job over that one, you might end up losing your job during a pandemic. It's a big deal, right? You choose this car over this car, you might end up broke down on the side of the road. You marry this person over that person, I'm not going to finish that one. But when it comes to God's will, they do not matter. They do not. Why? Because when it comes to decisions not based on morality, God's will can be accomplished regardless of which choice you make. God is less concerned with where you go, and he is more concerned with how you walk. He is more concerned with the way we live in this journey of life than where we are going in the journey. Look back at Proverbs 16:3. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Pastor Tim Keller, founder of Redeemer Church in New York, he says about this passage that when we look at it, we expect it to say, commit your plans to the Lord, and your work or activities will be established. That's how we think about it. That's what we're saying when we ask God for his direction. God, what are your plans for my life? And then everything falls in place. If I just know exactly what I'm called to do in life, then all of my activities, all of my work, they'll just work themselves out. That's what we say. That's what we're looking for, right? But that's not what the passage says. In fact, it says commit your activities or your work. The Hebrew word here, the verb, is to roll over or to roll on. Right? Roll your activities, roll your burdens, roll your mind, roll your heart, roll your body, roll your soul onto Jesus, and everything that you do and your plans will be established. God will establish his plans in your life. Submit to God's will of desire and trust God's will of decree is at work in your life. The verse is saying in order to follow God's direction, you just need to be obedient in the things that you already know to do. Church, be more confident in God's ability to lead you than your ability to hear from God and interpret it correctly. And I've said that before, and I think others have. I've actually stole that from someone that's preached here before, but it's a great line. If you're that person I stole from, I appreciate that line. And I know some of you, especially young people, high school, college, you might be disagreeing with me right now. You might be like, no, Matt, what I want is I want what the Israelites had. I want this pillar that's a cloud by night or cloud by day and fire by night that leads me exactly where I'm supposed to go. Right? Or you might be like, I want a dream that just tells me what I'm called to do and be in this life. That's how I want God to tell me. I see him doing it in the Bible, and that's what I want. But church, even if God gives those things to us, which he does sometimes, it doesn't mean we're going to understand how it's going to play out. Right? It doesn't mean it's going to help us submit to God's will of desire. The Israelites, they had this great cloud to lead them where they're going, and they didn't make it into the promised land. It was their kids. They came out of God's will because of unfaithfulness. It didn't help them to stay in God's will. And Ken shared last week, Joseph, who had this dream at a young age, and he goes and he takes that dream and he brags about it to his brothers that he had a dream of ruling over him. Well, that just led them to throw him in a pit. Right? I bet he, in hindsight, he wished he had never said anything to his brothers about that dream. Even if we can hear from God clearly about the direction we're called, most of us are still going to struggle to understand how it plays out. This is why we should be more confident in God's abilities to lead us than our ability to hear from God and to understand it. And I know some of you are like, Matt, practically, I still have to make a decision. I still have to make a decision. And I would say, yes. Yeah, God provides us with some really helpful resources to make decisions. Right? And if I had a second sermon to preach, I would focus on these three things. But first, we are given the scriptures, which provides us with wisdom and the commandments to follow. Right? We are given the church, wise counsel. One of the greatest benefits of being a part of a congregation, being committed to one church, is that you can have fellowship with believers who will hold you accountable in life and help you make decisions through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in them. It's a great benefit, wise counsel. And finally, the Holy Spirit that nudges us and pulls us and convicts us and provides us with wisdom. These three things are phenomenal ways that we have to make a decision. And then utilizing these resources, guess what? You can make a decision. You can just make a decision. Because if you're being obedient with the way that you are walking in your life, church, you will not and you cannot step outside of God's will. You do not have to worry about looking back and saying, man, I bought the wrong car. I married the wrong person. I took the wrong job. If you commit your activities to the Lord, if you follow God's will of desire and pursue holiness and grow in sanctification, God's will of decree establishes your plans. At this moment, I'm going to ask a beautiful woman to come up here and share a testimony. So if Julie, would you mind coming up?
Good morning. Wow, this is intimidating. Oh my goodness. I'm not used to this. So Matt asked me to share a very personal story of kind of how this played out in my life. I came to Bethany Global University at the age of 20 after feeling a pretty strong call to Bethany and a desire to serve the Lord in cross-cultural missions. And so after completing my four-year degree and an internship in Thailand, I was pretty convinced that I was going to return to Thailand, to Chiang Mai, where I had done my internship, within a year or two of graduation. I had absolutely no intention of finding a man to marry at that point in my life. Not that I didn't like men, because I did, but it was just, you know, kind of one of those things that was like, all right, I got my direction, this is what I'm doing. Within about 2 months into my final term at Bethany, this handsome man, well, he had asked a few times if I would go out with him, and I said no a few times. But eventually, the Lord kind of put this thought in my head of, why do you keep saying no? I didn't really have a good reason. And so we went out, and within 3 months, we were engaged. I had this thought, going into our engagement, that I knew there was this possibility if I chose to marry this man that I was going to potentially give up a desire to return to Thailand, because I knew that my husband or to-be husband felt a really strong call to ministry within the local American church. Not that he was against foreign missions, because I met him at a college studying foreign missions. But he felt very strongly that his desire was to serve within the American church. And so I knew, I might have to give up something in order to marry this man. And I struggled through that within the months leading up to our marriage and wondered, is this the right thing to do? Should I be returning to Thailand? Should I be marrying this man? I sought counsel and I prayed, and I had these very two strong desires for these very different things, and I did not have a clear sense of direction from the Lord, which was very frustrating because I am very much a rule book, give me the guidelines and I'm going to walk that straight line. I'm not going to step off. I don't want the space to be wide. I want to know exactly where I'm supposed to go type of person. And so it was a very challenging place for me to be personally. You want to take him? Sorry. Okay, let me look at my notes. Anyway, yeah, so I was in this really difficult place, and I loved this man. I really wanted to marry him, but I also really desired to return to Thailand and didn't know what to do, sought counsel, prayed, did not feel the Lord saying one thing or the other. And so I knew I had to make a choice in that moment, and obviously I chose to marry the man. It was a great choice, but there was a moment or a few moments within the first few months of marriage that I was like, uh-oh, I chose wrong. Because marriage was really hard. And it was a lot harder than I was expecting. And I thought, man, I messed up. I picked the wrong thing. This is hard. It shouldn't be this hard. I'm really having doubts that I've stepped out of God's will, and I made the wrong choice. I felt like maybe God was punishing me, and I could have stayed there. I could have stayed in that place and chosen to either remain in a marriage where I was miserable or, heaven forbid, choose to end the marriage. But instead, I sought counsel. Praise the Lord. I went to counseling and found out that there were a lot of things within my heart that needed to be worked through. And that marriage actually is really hard. For those of you who are not there yet, or maybe you are, and you're like, oh man, this is hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's a lot of hard work, and the Lord reveals things to us through that marriage. But I still had this desire within me that I wasn't sure about. Should I have returned to Thailand? And so I came to the place where I was like, okay, the Lord is not punishing me. I made a choice, and I am in this, and this is good. But there was a part of me that still grieved. And sometimes the Lord, as Matt has said and as Laura said, he brings us to a place of clarity and understanding later in our lives. And thankfully he did that for me. About 9 months into our marriage, we were asked to lead a team from Bethany Global University, just a short-term team, to the place of my internship site. And so we led a team, and we chose to use the trip as kind of like a vision trip to see if the Lord could bring us back to Thailand as a couple and have us serve together. And so we led the team. We talked to different people in ministry there, worked together with some other ministries, and felt a resounding, no, this is not where you need to be. You need to go back to Minnesota. I felt you need to go back to Minnesota. You're supposed to be in Minnesota with your husband. And I was very shocked and like, wait, what? My husband was willing. You brought us here. We had an opportunity. And God, you said no. And so while it was very shocking and I still grieved a little bit, at the same time, I felt a great sense of peace that I had made a choice and the Lord honored that choice, and he even brought us together to a place where it was, you can maybe do this, you can pursue this together as a couple, and yet he said, no, this is not the place for you. I have something for you in your home in Minnesota, and that's where you need to be. So, yeah, that's my story of the Lord's will in my life, and yeah, just finding that there's not a right answer. The Lord does create a spacious place for us, and that's good. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Julie. I know that story. We've talked about that story. It's still great to hear it. I'm so proud of my wife. Last night we stayed up too late watching a riveting movie, Little Women, and then the baby kept her up all night, and then I left her this morning to go make final edits on my sermon. And she got all three of the kids ready, dropped two off with my mom, and came here and still gave a testimony. So I'm just so proud of you. Thank you. I would not be able to preach if I did not have a wife that was willing to help out in those areas when I'm not around. I would ask the worship team to go ahead and come up. We're just going to go ahead and conclude today. And I just want to leave you kind of with those two final thoughts about being in God's will, because we do want to do what God has for us in our life. And so I'd first just say to you to press in to the commandments of the Lord, to grow in sanctification, to challenge yourself in the areas that you're weak. Pursue obedience in the Lord. And if we do that, and if our focus is on being obedient in the small things, the things that we can see in Scripture, then those big things, those plans, which way to go, He's going to establish that for us. And we can thank God that He doesn't abandon us. And even when we make mistakes, we can step right back into God's will, and He'll just forgive our sins. We have such a beautiful God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for Bethany Church, Father. Thank you that Bethany Church has been in your will. You've had so many men and women throughout the years, Lord, who chose to be faithful and to freely step into leading this church, serving in this church, worshiping in this church, Father. Lord, but we also thank you that you've had a plan for this church from the beginning. And you're continuing to work in this church, Lord. And you have not abandoned us. And this church has a future. And this church has an impact on the community around it. And this church is changing lives and will continue to change lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your beautiful wills. In Jesus' name, amen.